This episode is brought to you by Benton Integrative Medicine, a concierge membership-based medical practice offering direct primary care, functional medicine, hormone and sexual health, and wellness and vitality programs.
At Benton Integrative Medicine, they look beyond symptoms to uncover root cause solutions, helping patients restore balance, energy, and well-being through a comprehensive and personalized approach.
Their team believes in medical freedom, informed choice, and patient autonomy, empowering you to take charge of your health with a trusted partner by your side. Learn more at bentonintegrative.com and discover how integrative care can help you thrive, body, mind, and soul. Okay, well, hey, everybody. Welcome to Just Think, the podcast. This is Holly.
And Amy.
And Kristen.
And we are joined once again by our favorite doctors in the house, Dr. Ben Schwartz. Hi, Dr. Ben.
Hey, how's it going? Good to be back.
We're so glad you're here with us. So guys, if you're regular listeners, you know that Dr. Ben is our personal doctor, and we are so thankful for him and Benton Integrative that not only takes care of us, but also can help any of you in the 50 states of the United States. Right. They do telemedicine visits. And if they're not able to help you or prescribe something that you would need, they absolutely will network to get you connected to who you need to be connected to. One of the reasons we wanted to bring Dr. Ben and Benton into our podcast conversations is because, number one, we like to interview the experts. We like to interview practices like Dr. Cami Benton came from the Western medicine world, and she's now an integrative doctor. We like to interview these practices because we know that they are root cause medicine practitioners. Mm-hmm. And we believe, Chris and Amy and I, after all of our years of research and experience personally, we will tell you, we think root cause medicine is the future of healing America. And so we want to connect you to them, to their information, and their opinions, because we really do trust that they are rooting them back in science and in how the body's created and the holistic picture of your body, head to toe. How's it all working together to help you live in optimal health? And it is February, which I think is considered like the heart month. I think, you know, the love month, and you're going to see a lot about heart disease, I think, in your algorithms right now. And it should be, because the number one killer of Americans is, you guessed it, heart disease. Now, of all the millions of dollars that go to the American Heart Association and have for decades, my question is, why is it not getting better? Mm-hmm. Why aren't we preventing more? With statins being one of the most prescribed drugs on the market in the trillions of dollars, I think, right? Mm-hmm. Why aren't we cutting down on heart attack events? Why aren't our hearts healthier? And now the latest research, if you've been paying attention, is starting to go, maybe it's not cholesterol that is just the problem. Maybe it's not just your cholesterol that's the problem. And well, we asked Dr. Ben to come on and share his insight and expertise with you, because what we want to do is make sure that you know how to, number one, stay heart healthy. Number two, can you reverse some of your heart disease by the things you're doing each and every day? And number three, if your doctor says, oh, we need to put you on a statin, well, we want you to know what your options really are. Okay. So let's dive in, Dr. Ben. First of all, let's start with just your expertise on heart health. Mm-hmm. And what would you tell people to do right now? Let's start with prevention. What are the best ways that we can try to stay heart healthy?
So I am not a cardiologist by any means, but when I'm working with a patient, obviously, like you said, Holly, it is the number one killer in America right now. I don't know what it is, 1 in 4, 1 in 5 people will probably die from it. At least that's what the research shows. I think that was a couple of years ago. Might have changed, probably worsened by now. So when I'm working with someone and we're looking at preventative medicine, it's a non-negotiable. We have to look at it, and we have to look at it thoroughly. So not a cardiologist, but do a lot of work to try to reverse any heart health damage, any blood vessel damage. But I always keep it at the forefront of my mind in bettering a cardiometabolic panel in the blood work, so that we can show decreased risk over time and that what you're doing is actually working for you. first things first is you have to get the right labs. And I'm sure we're going to dive into that, go over some of the markers that come back flagged often and maybe why you're told to be put on a medication, what it really means, how much deeper we can look into these labs to get a much more complete picture. But a lot of it is lifestyle medicine. I'm probably beating a dead horse at this point on this podcast, but a lot of it is lifestyle medicine. It is a very modifiable risk factor, meaning that the ball is in your court. You're gonna basically choose how quickly is this condition gonna progress? Is heart disease, is it in my imminent future? Is there anything that I can be doing to move the needle in the other direction? Sleep, good movement, quality foods. It's basically about replacing the bad habits and making them good habits. So less bad, more good. Not always what can I be doing differently, because that can be overwhelming, but what can I do less of that's going to be damaging to my heart health and to my blood vessels? So we look at all that. We make sure that the foundations are set. We're creating the conditions for good health. I think I said this once before on the podcast too, but you think of someone in your life, someone you might look up to who influences health choices of yours. What do they do? What are they doing? Most of them are keeping stress managed. They have a diet that's probably different than yours. Their exercise program or their physical activity is probably different than yours. They're sleeping much more efficiently. Like, these are all of the basics, but they compound over time. And that's the epigenetic component that can change any genetic predisposition you've been told you have. Because it isn't just, you know, my mom had heart disease at 50 years old. I'm 50 years old. Look, I'm kind of trending in that same path. I don't know. Maybe it was my fate all along. That's not the story that you want to tell yourself, because it's not true. Establishing all of those foundations, without a doubt, that's step one. Any phase one is get those foundations set, but we have to get the right labs to understand that and to make better choices for someone.
And I think it's really important. I think I saw something somewhere. I mean, this can even be true of cancer or any, you know, chronic disease, but your heart disease didn't start when you discovered it. It started 20 years before. So those people who were young and seemingly healthy and not a care in the world, and you're like, oh, I won't have to worry about that till later. Your decisions that you make today is going to lay that foundation. And it's all about like that terrain theory. And just like you said, epigenetics, just because you've got that, may have that genetic predisposition just because your mom or dad has it. Number one, it doesn't mean you're going to have it. And number two, their risk was a lot based on what you said, modifiable risk factors, you know, controlling the controllables. So I think it is really important. So even though you do, it sounds like we're beating a dead horse, and it sounds like, yeah, people will roll their eyes or like exercise, diet, blah, blah, blah. But you don't realize that like you can really fix yourself and prevent so much with not a single supplement many times, and just with changing your diet.
Well,
I'm not
let's
for everybody, but truly you can literally...
Kristen, amen. And let's just talk about that for a second, because I want to actually even reframe this for people when Kristen goes, and even Dr. Ben, you go, I'm beating a dead horse. Listen to me. What they literally just said to you is it's in your power to change it. Quit playing the victim to your genetics. Quit playing the victim to whatever. I'm serious. This will light me on fire. You have the ability to start to change it. And what you are doing every single day makes the biggest difference in your health outcomes. And so, whereas some people say diet and exercise, yeah, diet and exercise, that's exactly what you should be focused on. And you should quit making excuses, and you should start doing the things you need to do if you want to live the life you want to live. And if you want to shorten the duration of your life, and if you want to live a life where you don't feel good, yeah, then just ignore your diet and exercise and your sleep, because I think sleep is a big one. But this is where I get really frustrated. And I think in this age of, oh, just take a pill to do what you should have done to start with. It like, we have just, in this westernized society, we just abdicated our own personal responsibility for what our lives look like. I am so over it. I'm sorry,
Dr. Ben.
It like lights me on fire. Do something.
Do something. But I think too, like, you know, a little bit of devil's advocate, not really, because I totally agree. But sometimes when people hear diet and exercise, it seems overwhelming, because it's like, I have to overhaul, like I have to throw everything out of my kitchen. I have to only eat lettuce. I have to like,
yeah, you know, extreme.
Right. So it's like, even if we can just say, like, if you can just say, like, even the smallest things matter, the 1 degree changes every single day. Like if you can walk for 10 minutes, you know, and then go from there. Or if you can, you know, cut out, you know, one sweet at night, every night, like just, we have to start looking at it too, as like, it doesn't have to be this extreme. We're going yes. all in all at once to overhaul and eradicate our entire, we've been living a certain way for 20, 30, 40 decades. And now we have to like completely change everything. Cause people, I know this, people in their 60s, 70s, they don't want to do that. They don't want to change. They're like, I don't want to change my, that's half the reason why they don't, because they don't want to,
they don't want to change, to
completely radically overhaul their life. So it's almost like you have to find this balance of like, how can we help people to make even just incremental, smaller changes without them feeling overwhelmed to just be like, forget it, I'm done. I'm just going to do whatever and let whatever happen, you know?
And I couldn't agree more. I always want to know a person's why is this so important to them? Because there's things in life that we're prioritizing over our own health and over our own body. We will clock in for work because we have a fear of losing our job and losing yep. our financial stability. We will pay the money to get the car fixed. We will make sure all of the updates and the checkups for our car. We're on that. That's on our calendar for sure. We do that every time because we need a car to travel. But when it comes to our body and actually making those changes, it's like tier three, tier four for a lot of people. And it shouldn't be that way. Without your health, without your body, I'll tell you, your job, your car, it doesn't matter. That's all yep. very replaceable. But we have to start prioritizing our health in that same way. So what's your why? Why is it that you want this? If you can identify that and we have a set point, like that's our light, then it is much better to make those changes. I'm not doing this to punish myself. I'm doing this because it's what my body needs. It's what my body craves. It is not a punishment. So if you can kind of shift the perspective into why we make these changes, and you're right, Amy, it's not so much just change your diet and exercise. That's a lot for a lot of people. It looks very different for people. So, you know, you use someone like me as leverage. I can kind of help guide you for something like that and make it actionable for you. But know why you want to do it. And heart disease is a great example. A lot of folks will come in here and they might have something else going on symptomatically that they want to work on. They want to feel better. But more times than not, they'll say, you know, when I'm asking about family history, oh yeah, that, you know, that is in my family history. That does run heavy on my dad's side. There is heart disease on my dad's side. And that is something I want to look out for. All right, well, let's take that just as seriously. Just as seriously. So, you know, it's a mindset shift, but it does matter. And I love your passion for that, Holly, because it does matter a lot. And you do want it to click. You want to be like, gosh, this is everything. This is everything. Yeah. Just make the change, buckle down. It isn't going to be a steady journey to health. There will be some bumps in the road, that's but you right. know what? That's okay. Every day there's a little bit of an improvement and we're just training that neurocircuitry to make the better choices. And when you feel that's well, it. You get addicted to it.
Yep. That's it. And I think too, and what I should have probably emphasized the most out of my rant was to say, think of it as being empowering, not something that puts you in bondage. This is empowering information to say you're not at the mercy of your genetics as much as you are at the mercy of what you choose, what you decide. You're empowered to change this. You're empowered to even reverse a lot of the damage you did for years. And as Amy so articulately pointed out, it's not perfection. It's moving in the directions that are going to better the way you look and feel. And as you said, Dr. Ben and Kristen and Amy and I will all testify, now living well is the addiction. Living well is, I know what it feels like to feel good at 51 years old. To not feel 51, to feel half my age. Oh, I want to keep buying that. I want to invest into that. And that doesn't mean there can't be hidden things underneath the surface, as I know you can attest to, that we can discover. And things, there are genetic predispositions we do need to take a good look at. And this is what we love about Dr. Ben. He helps us identify those things and make sure we're getting the nutrition we need and doing the right things to mitigate that. But at the end of the day, if you take nothing else from this conversation, start today, if you aren't already, moving incrementally in a direction that is going to help you live and age and feel well, and invest your time and money into prevention. It is way cheaper than treatment and cures, right?
Agreed.
So Dr. Ben, all right. So now someone comes to you with, let's say, arteriosclerosis. They're having some clogging of their arteries. They're having symptoms of heart disease. What are some of the things you advise your patients to do first?
So more times than not, if they're bringing me previous lab work, it's not sufficient. Usually if they're coming to me, that's probably a good sign that something isn't working or it hasn't been looked at thoroughly. So it's getting the labs, getting the appropriate labs, which is a very nuanced conversation these days. But the science is emerging and we are well up on the continuing ed to understand what is most important. But your standard lipid panel that most people get, and they'll push the red button very quick if the total cholesterol is high or the LDL is too high. It is far, far, far from the complete picture. So step one is expanding that panel and getting more information. You get your cholesterol, triglycerides, LDL, VLDL usually, and you make a judgment based on that. That's incorrect. So what I'll do is I'll order an advanced lipo profile. What's more important these days are not just how much LDL, but what kind of LDL and what's attached to that LDL particle. So the lipo profile will break that down. We'll get particle number, particle size. If you have more particles, all right, there might be some increased risk. If the size is very small, all right, now we're talking our risk might have increased even a little bit more. With LDL, what I would love people to understand is that it isn't inherently a problem that LDL is bad, HDL is good. We have to ditch that. That's not the truth anymore. So with LDL, that can be anti-inflammatory. That can be antioxidant. You know, it's actually pretty protective in the right amounts and it's doing good things. It's transporting cholesterol in your body. It's transporting triglycerides to where they need to go because every cell needs it. You don't want to get rid of it entirely. Don't listen to a doctor who tells you that. But it's also transporting CoQ10, fat-soluble molecules, antioxidant molecules. So it's doing a good service. Now, what happens is as that LDL gets exhausted and fatigued, it gets smaller and smaller. Then if we are, usually by the time that happens, lifestyle has hit, right? It's caught up to us. What we're doing is impacting our health. The blood vessels are likely inflamed. We'll look at CRP, homocysteine levels, just get a good check, a good read on exactly how much potential cardiac inflammation we have. But as that inflammation rises, then the lining of that blood vessel becomes weak and dysfunctional. So if you remember back to what I was saying, those LDL particles can get very small and we have to look at the size and the amount of them because that's what kind of connects to the blood vessel wall. And when it connects to the wall, that's when problems start. The LDL wasn't the problem, but if there's too much of a bad thing, it can become a problem in a bad system. So when the LDL attaches, it'll create a foam cell. It's very inflammatory. There's increased oxidative stress. And basically, that's how you calcify that cell, right? That cell dies. It's calcified. It's kind of turned into a graveyard. Mm-hmm. And your blood vessel is essentially becoming a bone, right? It's very stiff, it's compacted, it's calcified. So then your blood vessel begins to narrow, blood pressure goes up. We're not effectively transporting blood and nutrients and oxygen where it needs to go. Now problems are really starting to happen, right? So we have to find the LDL. That part is incredibly reversible. There are ways to do that. There are different drivers that do that. A lot of it being, how inflamed are we? What is our insulin levels, our free glucose? Like these are the things that make your blood like syrup, basically, right? And mm-hmm. it creates what's known as advanced glycation end products. And that is very inflammatory to a blood vessel. So all of that to say, break down the lipo profile, get a better read on exactly what kind, how much, how small are these particles, and then look at inflammatory biomarkers as well. To sense exactly how much at risk are we for clotting, for arterial disease, for eventual heart disease. And there's many ways to do that. A couple of others that I do want to throw out there, which we can dive into, but is ApoB and ApoA. Those get a lot of conversation these days. Those may be even more powerful than the lipid panel itself. Without those, you really don't have a good thorough understanding of what's going on because there's a lot of disease in disguise if you're just looking at a lipid panel alone. Because Go ahead.
Yeah. So it's interesting. I love hearing all of this because, and there may be people that aren't understand, they probably don't know what all the letters, numbers, like I know
a lot.
CRP and homocysteine, they measure like inflammation and, you know, inflammation that's indicative of like, you know, any kind of a lot of chronic illness and disease and stuff. And I know it's all related even to insulin and glucose and all of that as well. But what's so interesting is that so many traditional doctors will do like the lipid panel, the basic lipid panel. They'll see the cholesterol and whether it's just normal cholesterol, but then high LDL, low HDL, or and then look at the triglycerides or whatever. But then immediately, rather than doing the breakdown, because to me, I'm like, okay, if I see a high LDL and I know that could lead to something bad, my next step would be before recommending a statin or before recommending some other drug just to throw it at it, I would also, you know, most doctors are not asking, what's your diet? What's your exercise? What's your hydration? How's this? How's that? You know, how's your stress level? How's your sleep? And then they're also not going further and doing the breakdown because you don't really know until you know all of these. Is this because they just don't want to? Is this an insurance thing? Is this just what, this is how we've always done it? Like, and this is why I want to point out, like, this is where when you have an integrative physician, a naturopath, somebody who's actually like really trying to find the root cause, these are the extra steps that they're going to go, that they're going to go through. This is what Dr. Ben and Dr. Cammy, this is what they do for people that most doctors are not doing.
Yeah, no, and you're totally right too. And I know it's so many letters and it gets very confusing, especially if you've never seen this panel before, which a lot of folks probably have not. But all of that to say, there's a lot more to look at to understand the full story of what's going on. Because it does happen in office. You come in with a wonky lipid panel and I'll take a deeper dive. I mean, shoot, maybe even go get a calcium score and actually look and visualize how much plaquing is in these arteries, how much calcification is there. I've had folks who have the high cholesterol and they have zero inflammation. Their LDL particles are totally fine. They're not small, they're appropriate size. Protein A is very low. Their risk is incredibly low. Plenty of HDL, plenty of good quality cholesterol to offset that ratio. Glycerides in check. I mean, the list goes on. But that cholesterol level looked high on a reading. So you got to be on a statin. You got to be on a statin.
And that's what the doctor would say, but not you because you know, because you looked at the breakdown. So this is where the difference is. And I also, just before, I just want to make sure that we do touch on, please explain at some point what cholesterol actually does, like, and how important cholesterol is for sex hormones and with vitamin D and all of the correlation with that. Everybody thinks it's so negative, but I want to touch on that too.
Our listeners know that the three of us are passionate about exposing the broken systems within our society, revealing how the quest for money and power has corrupted so many of them so that they no longer serve us.
That's right. We talk a lot about our broken medical system, and that includes our broken medical insurance system. We believe that it is time we dismantle the broken systems and work together to rebuild new ones that actually serve us.
And that's why we are excited to share an answer we've found as an alternative to your traditional insurance plan that charges you exorbitant monthly payments and deductibles, then asks you to pay even more when you get sick, that controls your medical decisions, including what your physician is allowed to do and prescribe, and that rakes in billions as corporations at our expense.
That's why we love CrowdHealth. We interviewed CEO Andy Schoonover in episode 106, which we encourage you all to check out to learn more. But Andy founded CrowdHealth after experiencing firsthand just how inept and outrageous insurance companies have become.
CrowdHealth is not an insurance company, but a platform and a community that empowers you with a crowdfunding tool and a wealth of resources to efficiently manage your healthcare costs. And it's an excellent alternative to health insurance, allowing us to escape the healthcare matrix and put us and our healthcare providers back in charge.
Ever since my family and I made the switch to CrowdHealth, not only are we proud to be part of a company with integrity, but we love that we are free from the broken insurance system. We will never be part of that system again. We've had nothing but an A-plus experience. From before we even enrolled, we connected with an advocate who answered our questions. Then upon enrollment, we were immediately assigned a personal advocate who is literally a text away anytime I need her. If you follow them on Instagram and Twitter, you will see not only how much they truly care about each of the members, but also how much money they save us.
This is why we encourage all of you to go to joincrowdhealth.org to learn more and to use code JUSTTHINK to get your first 3 months of membership for just $99 a month. Again, it's joincrowdhealth.org with discount code JUSTTHINK. You can also reference our Just Think the podcast Substack for more information.
Mm-hmm. And let's just summarize so that everyone understands. So what Dr. Ben is literally saying to you is your standard test, which we were all trained to know, your HDL, your LDL triglycerides, right? This was the standard, like three little numbers you looked at. If they were out of whack, then your doctor may have said, hey, you need to be on a statin, right? That's kind of traditionally how it worked. And now what we know is there's a much broader panel that needs to be looked at, which Dr. Ben just explained. You don't have to know all the letters, numbers. You don't have to know the abbreviations to understand. There's a broader panel that you will want to have run by a doctor like Dr. Ben that shows far more. And that's where you want to go way before you ever get on a medication. And as Kristen said, now where we thought cholesterol or cholesterol was the enemy and the cause of heart disease, what we were not taught as the general public is the benefits of cholesterol and why we do need it. And let's talk about blue zones, right? In those blue zones, in that Mediterranean diet, a lot of times they had high cholesterol. We're living forever heart healthy lives, right? Because clearly it's not just the cholesterol. Okay, that's to summarize in case anyone got lost in our medical jargon talk. All right. So Dr. Ben, tell us why cholesterol is needed and what it's doing for those things that Kristen mentioned.
So cholesterol is a nutrient. First off, you do need it. You need nutrition. It is a nutrient. It does, I touched on it earlier, but it actually has a role in the body. It's a transport cell. It can be anti-inflammatory. It can protect against oxidative stress. These are things that it can do. Down the line, it also is for hormone synthesis. You have to have it. If you can remember all those chemistry pathways back in high school, cholesterol is first and hormones generally follow that. So it's a precursor to create the hormones. So if we're ridding our bodies of cholesterol, then our hormones may be affected negatively. We're not going to be able to produce enough of them. This is to touch on what you had mentioned, I think, Kristen or Holly, like where side effects come into play. Cholesterol is that important. So it's not, I wouldn't even call it a side effect. I would call it an effect. It's very basic biology. This is an effect of what happens if you take cholesterol out of the bloodstream. So hormones are at a deficit. Our brain, it is a yummy food for our brain. Our brain gobbles up cholesterol. We need it. It needs it to function appropriately. We have to have certain fats in our body for cellular repair, to create that cellular wall, to make it strong and tight and resilient. So for side effects that people will often see, or again, I'll call them effects, is if we're super low cholesterol, you'll notice hormonal imbalances. There's a lot of emerging research too for overusing statin medications and increasing the progression of cognitive decline and dementia and Alzheimer's, because we're taking away a very impactful nutrient from the brain. With lowering cholesterol and what our cells need to repair and taking away a lot of CoQ10, which is a nutrient that our mitochondria uses to make cellular energy, that's where you will maybe start to see muscle fatigue and muscle aching and worst of all, muscle wasting, sarcopenia, where we're actually starting to lose lean muscle mass because we are ridding our bodies of cholesterol. So, I mean, a lot can happen and a lot usually does. No one is on a cholesterol medication long-term, chronic use to avoid a heart event and not experiencing something, right? Unless those levels are managed very, very well. But a keen doctor will hopefully get you on a statin medication. And if they do, make sure that the lifestyle is in order and that the nutrition is in order and supplementation is in order, so that eventually in time, we can retest them while we reduce your risk and check, how's cholesterol now without the medication? Have we actually achieved better health? Or did we just get rid of cholesterol that we need? It could have been a problem in a terribly unhealthy person or a metabolically ill person, but what does it look like now? What's our new baseline? That would be the only use of cholesterol in the very high, or a statin in a very high risk patient, is using it, prevent the disease, make sure they make the changes. That's where medicine's missing right now. Mm. If you don't make those changes, then you are on a life sentence, but it's a means to an end. It's a means to an end. It's not it's not actually preventing the disease. And there is research to show that it's actually creating more inflammation. It can create higher levels of insulin resistance. It might actually not impact myocardial infarction like we thought it would.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that was
it's just making the blood levels look good. And they're checking, hey, look, we've got them down. We've got them down. Algorithmically, I can say you're good. You live to see another day. We're not going to have a cardiac event.
Well, and I was going to point that when you said that, because if anybody has ever followed Dr. Asim Malhotra, he has been calling this out like for years, just like kind of like the cholesterol scam, you know? And look, there are cardiologists that are on both sides of this. There are doctors that are on both sides. This is a very controversial topic. So this is why we wanted to bring just more facts to present it to everybody so that once again, just like with everything, you are fully informed so that you can make your own decision and not be, you know, pressured to do something that you're not real comfortable with, okay? And you should be able to have these nuances, these conversations with your doctor and be able to ask questions, and they should be able to answer them too. But Dr. Asim Malhotra, I remember him, there was a really good interview with him with Joe Rogan. And that was when he was going over the stats, and I've seen this too, but I'm probably going to get it wrong, but where the only time, and correct me if I'm wrong, Dr. Ben, that, or maybe not only time, because you just said that it could help with prevention if you are working on the other factors. Because I've also heard, I learned in my functional med nursing that like cholesterol doesn't really stick to healthy blood vessels. So if you have healthy blood vessels, it's not going to stick to it. So you got to work. It's all related. Okay. It's not just one thing. But the whole with Dr. Asim, he said that the main benefit would be only if you have had a heart attack, but even then, wasn't it like a 1% chance or like of an increased survival or something? I mean, I'm screwing it all up, but I just remember being, holy crap, like for the amount of risk that it could bring. And look, y'all, we're going to put this disclaimer out. We're not telling you to stop your statins. We're not telling you not to take a statin if your doctor is telling you to take it. But it is just something to think about. Like, is it really going to help? To me, it's like chemo. Hey, we're going to give you chemo, but we have no idea if it's actually going to help. It's just what we've always done. And this is what we're supposed to do.
So at minimum, like what I've heard so far is that, you know, if your doctor prescribes you a statin and they've only looked at that big picture HDL, LDL lipid profile, then at minimum, get the broader labs and wait, yes. Make a decision until like get those looked at, because they're making a decision to put you on a medication based on not enough information is what it sounds like.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's the stance. I let me make that very clear. That is absolutely my stance, is expand that panel and have that conversation. I'm a straight shooter with anyone who's in front of me. I will give you my best gauge on what your risk is, what your actual risk is, and is this medication necessary long term? And that's what you'll do. But you can't do that without the appropriate data.
Right.
You have to have the full data set.
The side effects, are they informing you of the like all the side effects that you said, like the muscle mm-hmm. thing and the like those things? I mean, are they going over that? Maybe, I mean, some doctors probably are, but some maybe not. They mm-hmm. will take this.
The heart a muscle? Am I wrong? Isn't the heart a muscle? It has never made sense to me for a drug that actually diminishes muscle, the heart being a muscle. Like, it just didn't. Look at me, just thinking. I'm like, I used to think that, like, okay, wait. It's so they tell you it could diminish your muscle. The thing here's okay. So for my dad, you guys know this. I've shared this on the podcast many times. My dad had a quadruple bypass at 51. Our panels look very different at the same age, right? And so, of course, I always have had it in my mind, like there is a genetic component. There could be a predisposition in me that I need to make sure I'm making decisions that don't line up for me to live out that same experience he's had. He had the quadruple bypass. They told him those grafts will probably last you 15 years. At some point, your heart's going to have issues again. The crazy thing about my dad, because he was very active, is he had a very strong heart muscle. His problems were the arteries, right? And so it would be no surprise to many of you that it was not his cardiologist that has kept him alive this long. It was actually his functional medicine doctor. So as he initially was put on statins, in about 8 years, he needed another stent, even by doing the quote right things, needed another stent. And that's when my dad said, I'm done with statins and all these things that don't even make me feel good, muscle issues, all the things. He got off of them and he was on what's called the Linus Pauling protocol, which was very high dose vitamin C, among other things. And now his numbers, that those numbers are actually within range. And honestly, the only issues he's had is not with his bypasses. What they can't figure out, this is almost, it makes me chuckle. But in his last, what do you call it, when they go in with the scope and they look at your arteries,
the catheterization.
This last one, he could hear them because they only, you know, sedate you a little bit. And there's a couple of cardiologists in Rex looking in there and they go, his bypasses are pristine. How old are these? And one doctor, his doctor goes, 25 years old. And they go, how do they look so good? And one of the doctors goes, I mean, he's on statins or whatever. Dad said, as soon as that was over, he goes, no, I'm not on any of the stuff that y'all tell me to be on. I'm not on any of it. And they were like, what? And so he was the talk of the cardiac unit that week because they could not explain why those bypasses have held up. The only issues he's had is with the stents, which are not natural, right? The stents, he's had to have those replaced. But everything else has been doing very well. And I share that with you to say that if you are willing to think outside the box, there's doctors like Dr. Ben and like my dad's doctor who will talk about that root cause and trying to, they talk about, they did all these things to lower his inflammation, you know, things like that. Doing those things, I truly credit with preserving my dad's life this long. Mm-hmm. And has it been an easy road? No. Would he tell you he wishes he had done things way earlier, including managing stress? He owned multiple companies. He lived a very high stress life. He would do those differently. But now, dealing with the cards he's playing now, you know, he's doing the best he can, and he's doing it with functional medicine. So I want to say that to encourage people that, again, please. And here's the other thing, Dr. Ben, people get very scared to venture out of Western medicine, especially when it comes to their heart. They're terrified they're going to have a heart attack. So what do you say to people who are like, well, I'm scared not to be on the statin. I'm scared not to do what traditional medicine has always said to do. And I know you're not saying not to do that, but what you are saying is there's more to these stories. There's more that we need to know to adequately treat. So what do you say to the people who are saying, I'm afraid not to be on it?
Yeah, I'd love to know like any supplements, like natural supplements that can help. And again, there's always this disclaimer, you cannot out supplement or even out exercise your diet and what you're eating in the kitchen. Okay, that it really is, that is the foundation. But I do know, I remember learning about some things like, and I just don't know, I'd love to hear like, because you've actually practiced it. It's different from when you learn and you read about it, but what have you used with success? Like I've heard like red yeast rice, right? Mm-hmm. Like, or some other things, like, do you have any other, what would be your protocol? And have you used the Linus Pauling with people?
No, I've just read about it.
Yeah. Okay.
Just read about it. But I say on here too, sometimes there's many trails up the same mountain. You gotta pick one. A lot can work. But to have that conversation, Holly, I'm very focused on patient education because what resonates with them will dictate how well they respond to it. So that placebo effect, it's very real. And you have to believe in it and you have to have conviction. And the only way that you can do that is you're either really just taking at face value what a doctor tells you, or you're educating yourself and you're learning about it and you're saying, you know what, this is the logic I want to follow. This makes sense to me. But I focus on the piping. I call them like pipes, right? If I fix the piping, I have much less concern for what's moving through the pipes, right? Because that's where the problem is cracked. If that pipe is rusted and it's closing in, then we've got problems, but you have to treat that pipe. There's plenty of cases where the piping looks great, right? But what's moving through the pipe is high. No need to panic, right? The pipes are fine, all right? We can just change what's moving through the pipes. So that's an easy case to work with someone to change exactly how much glucose is in our blood, exactly how much insulin's in our blood, how much LDL is in our blood. It doesn't matter if the piping looks not inflamed and not stressed. So I explain that to them and I try to tell them straight up, hey, piping's damaged, right? So you are at an increased risk. Here's what we have to do. And when we get to the point of what are we going to do, if they're not going to use a statin, there are other options. There are other options that work really, really well. But you mentioned red yeast rice, Kristen. That is basically the what statins are a derivative of is red yeast rice. And there's a compound called monacolin K in red yeast rice, and that's basically what's influencing an enzyme called HMG-CoA reductase, and that's going to determine how much cholesterol we have in the bloodstream at one time. So red yeast rice is actually, and if you want to call it a natural form of a statin, that's what it is by definition. It's working on the same pathways. So you can use red yeast rice. I use it a little bit more conservatively because just like a statin, you have to have the nutrients on the side of it. You have to make sure that we have enough CoQ10 being supplemented back in, vitamin D and K2, right? So we can avoid the calcifying. Omegas, magnesium. You do have to make sure that if you're using medications or a supplement to lower cholesterol, if we're lowering cholesterol, we have to put the good stuff back in. So that's a very keen way of good long-term medicine. And there's so many other ways. Plant sterols get a lot of credit these days for helping improve lipid panels. Bergamot, berberine, omegas alone. You can combine and stack these however we want to. Again, we'll look at risk and make sure that it's appropriate for you. They work very, very well, right? To maybe what you mentioned too, Holly, is a really rewarding moment for me sometimes is when a goal with a patient is to improve their lipid panel so that they can have a better conversation with their doctor about if things are looking good.
Yeah.
And oftentimes what they'll say is the doctor's like, oh, great. That's awesome. Stay on your medication. It seems to be working. And they're like, hang on now, buddy. I'm not on medication. So This is, you know, I'm doing something else and it's working just as effectively as what you thought the statin was going to do. So that's a very rewarding moment for me and a patient. And it happens all the time. They work just as effectively. It just takes a little longer, right? Like we talked about on the last episode, supplements may just take a little longer to get set, to get stabilized. They're not going to work overnight like maybe a medication would.
Yeah.
But there is a lot of impactful nutrition outside of everything we talked about earlier, right? Making sure we are moving our body, making sure our cardiovascular health is set, making sure we're sleeping well, stress is managed, nutritious whole food diet, nothing inflammatory, get rid of the excess carbs, excess calories, excess refined sugars and fats. That has to happen first. Otherwise, we have an upper limit that we will reach at some point. And then you're going to say, well, why is it not improving anymore? You've got to work on the basics.
Well, and I love that also what you're saying, even though it may take a little longer, it doesn't take forever, just it could take a little longer. It doesn't come with the same risks or potential side effects, right? And that to me, you know, what you don't want to get caught up in is medical whack-a-mole, where you're treating one thing like your cholesterol levels only to have mental or cognitive decline or muscle issues or atrophy, right? Because of what those side effects can be. But I also want people to know that anytime there's a drug that is doing trillions of dollars in the marketplace, I have questions about it because now you could argue, well, it's because it's effective. Okay, is it? Because I think there's a lot of information out there that we're questioning the effectiveness. Like you mentioned, Dr. Ben, there's a Dr. Asim Mahatra who Kristen actually mentioned. He's lifestyle medicine doctor on Instagram. I suggest you go follow him. There's also a guy named Natural Heart Doctor is another good follow who they talk more about sort of the evidence that continues to unfold that perhaps we need to revisit the Western medicine prescription for these panels being, these markers being in a place we don't want them to be. But if you go to No Farm Film, it's called First Do No Farm. It was a film that Dr. Asim Mahatra put out. You can go to nofarmfilm.com. We watched this documentary and it goes into how statins became the go-to drug in Western medicine. And it will cause you to question, again, the money trail. And how things were adjusted in order to prescribe these statins more. In other words, they started to change the range of what they felt was high risk, and then they began prescribing even more drugs. And so, again, we share everything so that you have the information to just think for yourself. But these are resources. If you're having questions, that you can go check out. And I suggest you get educated on things like this so that you can go to your doctor like Dr. Ben, and then you can get those lipid panels done, and then you can really see what you're working with. And that should give you more confidence to know that whatever choices you're making, you can make the choices to help you live optimally with as few side effects as possible. I mean, that's really the goal, right, Dr. Ben?
Absolutely. I think anyone should be proud of that if they get themselves to a spot where they're on as little medication as they can possibly be, and they're feeling as well as they possibly can.
And if you're on, like, if you're on a statin and you're working with your cardiologist, you can do both. And I think that's where people are like, well, I don't want to go this route, or I don't want to go that route. Like, stay on your statin, but work with somebody like Dr. Ben, who can help you minimize your side effects from your statin, help you learn different things that you can do that you possibly could come off of it if you wanted to in the future. If you did, if that was your goal to get off, you could work with him, but you're still also working with your cardiologist. So there's a way to kind of balance it all out so it doesn't feel like you're just abandoning what's comfortable or what makes you feel safe, like being on a statin or medication, to go this like almost like this wild, wild west. Like you just feel like, you know, I think that's just how a lot of traditional minded, you know, that's how they feel. It's like, oh my, I'm scared. Like you said, I'm scared to come off of a statin. Well, if you're scared to come off, you could still at least go have a consult, get the extended labs, look at it all. And then if you're having side effects from those statins, talk about like, okay, what are some things I can be doing? How can you help me feel more comfortable in my body while I'm on this statin? I mean, I don't know. I just feel like, you know, making it a broad umbrella approach is probably a little more, you know, palatable for people.
What you just said definitely clicked. People feeling safe on a statin, that's a psychology worth exploring, I think, with patients. And I always try to open that dialogue with them. I think it's a false sense of safety that they've given their power away to in saying that I am taking this medication and it is what it's intending to do. Is avoid any cardiac complications and everything else that comes with it. It's okay because I feel safe that I'm not going to have a cardiac event. And I want to say that I think that that's a false sense of safety, especially if you're not making the appropriate changes that got you to the place where you needed a statin in the first place.
I think that's a really good point. I want to say two things real quick. When just going along with that safety, once again, it's very similar to like when people put a mask on or when people take a vaccine and they think, I've done it. I'm protected. I'm on a statin. I don't need to change anything. That's where that false sense of safety is too. Because not only do you realize that there's not as many benefits as you really think that there are with it, and also it could be causing more harm, but also you do have that false sense of security because you're like, oh, I'm just taking my pill. I'm fine. And then you don't think you need to make changes. And once again, it takes that, you know, pressure. You're not empowered. It's the victimhood. It's just like we talked to with Chris Wark, you know, with cancer, you know, when you feel like it's your, you know, you have to take ownership. You know, it's not that it's necessarily your fault, but there are decisions and choices that you've made along the way that you can change, right? And right. So you can change this. Now, the other thing I wanted to point out, just because you can't really talk about all this, is not just the statins, but with your heart. And it's easier said than done. But one thing that we saw all the time, and well, in the ER, there is a reason that people have heart attacks around the holidays and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it is high stress. And it is so much easier said than done to say, just stop stressing, reduce your stress. But it is so unbelievably important. It's like everybody right now, just stop while you're listening and just take one deep breath and just, I mean, like if you can just make yourself stop and do that every once in a while, or just when we say get outside, small little changes will help. You cannot be in this ball of stress because it is so important. Look, even cancer, the missing link, a lot of people who have done well. And I keep bringing this up, but like I've done so much research into this too. Sometimes you can do everything right. But if you have not addressed emotional trauma, stress, and all that, and you're hanging on to that, things are not going to fall into place. You're going to be stuck. And your heart takes the brunt of a lot of that.
Well said. So well said. I might have even said on this podcast before, but I always tell someone that I'm working with, there is something much more powerful than me and any perfect diet you have and exercise regimen and even your own body's health. But if your nervous system overrides everything, it has the ability to override everything else that you're doing and blunt the actual effectiveness of what you're doing. It's maybe the number one most important thing that you can do is have a happy nervous system and a low stress nervous system and physiology. And then things will begin to open up for you. You will begin to actually reap the benefit of that clean diet you're eating, of that supplement you're using, of the exercise you're putting in. I love that you brought that up, Kristen. That's such a good point.
And I have to say that to remind myself, because y'all hear me. I'm like type A, high strung. Like the reason I do yoga is because that helps me. But like, there are things that like, I still have to work on it. I am definitely like, that needs to be a whole other podcast talking about our nervous system.
Like I want to talk about the vagus nerve. Yeah.
Yes, the vagus nerve.
Yeah. Now we're talking
more about that and talk more about that because it's almost like you feel like you can't control it, but you really can. You know, even humming helps. Just taking a deep breath, just taking a walk, just doing something that you enjoy that makes you smile. Even smiling when you don't feel like it can help. You know, there are just so many things that just kind of calm it all down. And I, like I said, I'm saying this because I need to hear it. They say you need to talk to yourself instead of listen to yourself.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Well, one more plug I want to make real quick that I didn't talk about. I just want to make sure before we finish, actionable steps that you can take. It's worth noting if we're talking about cardiovascular health, but infrared sauna, there is an abundance of great literature coming out of Europe that is showing exactly how effective it can be for cardiovascular risk and all-cause mortality in some cases too. That it's not saying go out and spend an arm and a leg to get an infrared sauna, but there is something about the heat, the wavelengths, the sweating that is very, very protective against cardiovascular disease. And we need to take that very seriously. I've mentioned diet and exercise and stress and sleep, but let's categorize putting our body into that heat shock stress because it apparently works very, very well. It's worth noting.
Yes. And we're big fans. In fact, Kristen, I think can we talk about this yet about the infrared sauna?
Yeah, we have the, oh my gosh, relax sauna.
Yeah.
And you can actually travel with it. Now, I mean, I would love to have one in my room, in my house, that's like the wooden sauna and everything that you can sit in, but I love how convenient this is. And we all have one and they do have a sale right now, $200 off with our code, just think 200. It's the 12th through the 16th. It's like a little Valentine's thing. So hopefully we'll get this out before then.
Get it out on the 12th. So this episode will come out on the 12th. So right now you should be able to get that $200 off. And this is the far infrared light sauna. And we all swear by it. Our kids, I think even a statement, Dr. Ben, that there's not just a psychosomatic effect. Our kids run to the sauna when they don't feel well. Like that is their first thought. They like, got to go get in the sauna. I feel something coming on and just sweating out toxins. But I will also say, because I've encouraged my dad to do this, one of the things I noticed because of my Whoop app, I can always see like when I get in the sauna that, and the way someone described infrared light, infrared saunas to us guys is that infrared saunas are like microwaves from the inside out. Whereas like the standard sauna where it like heats you from the outside in, this raises my heart rate without me exerting myself. So if you think about if you're a person who maybe you find it hard to exercise, maybe you've got something going on, it's very hard for you to get your heart rate up. Sitting in that sauna, raising that body temperature, then my heart rate is elevated. And I think it does, that is like causing my vessels to expand, right? And so just that alone, I wonder if that's part of that cardiovascular benefit, you know, that we're getting. But it's like, the last stat I saw, Dr. Ben, was like 33% decreased risk of cardiac events just by using it like three times a week.
Three times. Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of percentages thrown around and I guess it's starting to compile. We'll have better evidence in coming years. But yeah, I mean, the numbers are pretty striking and we should take them seriously, especially again, going all the way back. Exactly how prevalent is cardiovascular disease in America? So what is something that you can do and you can begin to do? And I'll plug our clinic too. We have a far infrared sauna in our clinic too, and we have red light attached to it.
Yes.
So if you're in the area with me and you are considering working with our clinic, if we're running through a functional medicine program and this is something that we have assessed is probably going to be good for you, you get that thrown into the package. We're absolutely going to make sure that That's you can awesome. Get into the sauna if you don't have access to one yourself.
Well, we're coming to Charlotte.
Come on.
We are coming to Charlotte. I mean, we are all about this stuff because, again, like you said, this is not wonky stuff. Like, there is scientific evidence, which, by the way, let me say, when I'm looking at scientific evidence, Dr. Ben, I know you're the same way. We're looking at who's running the test, who's sponsoring it, what's the desired outcome. So, like, if my Relaxed Saunas was sponsoring the sauna experiment, I'd be like, hold on. Mm-hmm. You want a desired outcome. No, I want someone who has no desired specific outcome to be running those trials. And, hopefully those trials done over a long period of time. And let me just tell you guys, like, again, I know we could just talk about this all day, but like, that's the kind of science you want to put more trust in, right? And we have to be very careful because what we now know after 2020 will tell you who is running those trials, who's sponsoring, what their desired outcomes do matter, and they can buy science. Science has been bought many times. So these sauna stuff is super exciting. And again, making that more and more accessible to you. And if you're in the Charlotte area of North Carolina, if you're in that part of the state, you want to definitely go to Benton Integrative. Go make your appointment today, guys. Seriously. I think one of the reasons besides our own personal experience is just knowing Dr. Cami Benton and Ben, just their hearts motivated by love to do the right thing. It is not about the dollar. It is about their mission to help you live and age well, that is just so aligns with us. And it really causes us to trust them and feel confident in telling our entire audience, which spans outside the US, that we know they can help you. And this kind of medicine, we believe, is the future, helping us all live well, right? And so last thing, Dr. Ben, we can't get off here without you telling people, what are some warning signs that your heart may not be okay?
A lot,
right?
A lot. At the very extremes, if our breathing is changing, if our skin is reddening, if our limbs are swelling, and you notice poor circulation and lymphatic drainage, like those are some pretty big warning signs. But as far as smaller things, I mean, we didn't even really talk about like VO2 max, for example, but that's a great predictor of your cardiovascular health, maybe the best one that we have. You know, your energy output, your exertion and your output, if that begins to change, we want to flag it. We want to evaluate it. Obviously, brain function and cognition, if that begins to change, exactly how at risk are we for having clotting and embolism and stroke? I mean, there's many things to look at, but sadly, it can be a silent killer. And I think like Kristen said way earlier on, it's something that develops long over time and you can be having problems in the chemistry well before you are symptomatic. So it's something that you want to get checked now, even without symptoms. Lack of symptoms, still have a baseline lab test. That's the very least that I want to do for you is give you all of the evidence that you can consume yourself or take to another physician or provider you're working with so that we have a detailed picture of what's going on. And then from there, I mean, we've mentioned so many things in this podcast. There's a lot of modifiable risk factors. There's a lot of things outside of a statin that we can put our trust and our faith in because they do work very well. So it's a matter of getting with someone who can kind of help you swim those waters.
Last thing real quick, because I do think this is critically important too, even signs of a heart attack, you know, I want to make sure that people do know this. Like, you know, it's not always what you see on the movies, like the crushing chest pain and you automatically know. Like sometimes it is just sudden onset of shortness of breath. Sometimes it's just nausea and vomiting. And sometimes it's jaw pain. Sometimes it's pain in your shoulder and in your upper back. And it's like a tightening. And one thing we would always ask, like, does anything make it better or worse? Like if nothing makes it better or worse, you know, and it's just sudden onset or even gradual, like you've got to start paying attention to your body and really know the signs. And I always err on the side of safety. I never want anybody to go to the hospital. But if you think that you are having a heart attack, like they are the only people that can help you. Okay. Mm. And you just have got to, like, my stepdad, for instance, he had terrible nausea and vomiting, thought it was something his stomach, but he ended up having a severe heart attack. Thank goodness he's okay, but it was what they called a widowmaker. Like it was very bad. Like if he had not gone, he would not be here today, but he knew his body and he went and it was not chest pain. Okay. So I just want everybody to know these signs. You may assume that people know, but they don't. So please let people know. And if you see anybody having those symptoms, call 911. Don't drive yourself, please.
Yeah. And let me also say, with an epidemic of also gastro issues in America, people's guts are a wreck. And I was one of those people who had this in my thesis from taking Advil, crazy enough. Taking Advil caused a host of issues for years. So just side note. And what I will tell you is that I would have esophageal spasms that felt like a heart attack. And with my dad's heart history, everyone panicked. And then I was at a cardiologist's office, running on treadmills. One of the things I also learned, they can feel very similar. And that vagus nerve that you guys mentioned earlier runs along those same pathways. Mm-hmm. And so it can be triggered from both kinds of events. I will say, if you are having issues and exertion makes you feel worse, for sure go to the ER. For sure. The way that I started to figure out mine wasn't my heart was if I actually ran across the yard, I felt better. My stomach actually felt a little better, like that eased off. And that would not have happened with my heart. Like if I exerted myself, it would have felt worse. So I'm just saying, not trying to give medical advice, but if you are in a moment where you're like, is this indigestion? Like Dr. Ben said, if your breathing is changing and you're finding it hard to exert yourself, please go to the ER. This is where we love Western medicine, is that we heart attack help. That's who's got to help you at that point.
Absolutely.
Well, Dr. Ben, we appreciate you so much. And I know this is going to help give people the confidence to navigate this world that so many people are in now with their checkups yielding the results. Hey, you need to consider a statin. You've pointed people in the right direction. You yourself can help them or a doctor like you. Guys, reach out to BentonIntegrative.com. If they can't help you, Dr. Ben, you always say, you'll help. Connect them. You'll network to help them find someone in their area that can. Isn't that right?
That's my duty.
Well, we love you for that. So thank you for being on, guys. Thank you for joining us this week. There will be a Substack out with all the resources, and you guys can link to Dr. Ben, but you can also link to the other resources we mentioned. But definitely get educated. Just look into this for yourself and just think for yourself. Take care of yourselves. Okay. We'll talk to you guys later. See you next time. Bye, y'all. Yeah.